last thing we're discussing is some of the Gemaras here in Kol Gadol. We're finally getting to these Gemaras. The Gemara on Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis to Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara introduces Zohar Bara Merakid. Zohar Bara Merakid is clearly a linchpin kind of case, this whole issue. Because the Gemara originally thinks that the differentiations are not enough to justify different avos, Heine Bora, Heine Zora, Heine Bora, Heine Marakeid. Then the question is, when the Gemara says, Kol Milsa Dehavi B'Mishkan, Apagam Vikit Dami Lechashiv Leh, so what does that mean? That's what we've been discussing. How, to what extent have we reevaluated the relationship between Zora and Marakeid as a result of the fact that they are in the Mishkan and we have this Mesorah that Malachos break down that way? So as we've seen, this is a very, very important Gemara. One can take, one of two approaches, or three, depending on how you want to break it down. One is to say that nothing much changed about the substantive relationship between Zohar, Bara, Merakeid, between the Havamina and the Maskana, in which case the role of the Mishkan is really very, very, very dominating, because that's the only thing that really justifies the designation of Zohar, Bara, Merakeid as separate malachas. Even then, it's quite possible that if they were really clones and there was no distinction whatsoever, that it wouldn't qualify. Even the Mishkan needs a little bit of help. That's the difference between perhaps Shovei to Medakdek, which is Hainu Mesach, Hainu Oreg, and Zohar, Bara, Merakeid. But according to that perspective, we'd have to say that Shovei to Medakdek, according to the Tanakhama, is really not differentiated at all, and that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid needs very little. It just needs to be more than Shovei to Medakdek. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to say that in light of the mechanism that we have to derive malachos, we're given a certain epistemological tool, to derive these avos, and that's overriding. In other words, our initial perception is not as important as what we can reconstruct from the principles. And the principles are that the Mishkan is the locus, that's where everything comes from. And if we have a Mesorah, or we have concluded logically that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid are candidates for being an Av, so we have to look again at the relationship between them. And then what might have seemed trivial, namely the differences between them, start looming larger. In which case, it's quite possible that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid, again, I don't think that they're ever going to make a case that they're radically different, but the fact that they're different stages, that they can't be done bevasachas, things of that sort, not just the fact that they're done with different chepses, perhaps, enter into the picture and become, especially if you could say Zores, more grum-oriented, Allah the Gemara in the Bava Kama da Sama Chaman Aleph. In other words, if we can begin to accent things that we perhaps wouldn't have if we didn't have this process in front of us, it turns out that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid turn out to be more differentiated than we thought. And then we could end up saying that the Mishkan remains nothing more than a source of revelations, but it isn't really the Mechayev at all. Of course, in between those is to say that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid, there is something to work with, but the Mishkan, propels the distinctions yet further. So these are some of the issues we saw Rashi, Avagav Dechadaninu, and then Rashi and Shovei to Medakdek later on, I think works nicely as well, because he really makes Shovei to Medakdek clones. Again, if you take the view that Zohar, Bara, Merakeid are somewhat differentiated after the Kamash Malan, then Shovei to Medakdek don't have to be clones. Shovei to Medakdek can be very, very similar, but there can be some distinctions between them and Mesach and Oreg, and they can still not qualify, even though they were in the Mishkan, as Malachas. So the point is that there's a lot of shifting. There's the ripple effect of the position that you take on one, namely Zohar, Bara, Merakeid, one group, is going to have impact on the position they take on the other. So this is an issue that comes up. Zohar, Bara, Merakeid, let's see, is mentioned by Rishonim a lot. Here we have it directly. Some of the Chachmei Sfarad bring it up in the beginning of the Masechta too. They talk about Avos and Toldos, the Ramban in particular. Kiddush Ramban and Daf Beis speaks about this. They will get a chance to talk about it. But this case is always one to keep an eye on. The Marikatz quoted the Zohar Bar Meraki when he was trying to explain different views about Avos and Toldos. So Zohar Bar Meraki, Shovet and Medakdek, these are the key cases. Again, on that basis of what we discussed at the very end of yesterday, the Ramban's critique of Rabbeinu Tam, if indeed Rabbeinu Tam is right that there is an Afiyah which is in the Mishkan, so why isn't Afiyah counted separately in the Avos Malachos, says the Ramban. After all, what will you tell me, Ofe, Bishul, it's the same thing, and therefore it doesn't warrant a separate Av. It's not any different than Zohar, Bora, Meraki. And on the contrary, if I had to choose, I would take Ofe and Bishul over Zohar, Bora, Meraki. That's the Ramban's comment. So as I mentioned yesterday, I think that there are two ways to understand the Ramban. One is that the Ramban is making a very radical statement, and what he's telling us is even right now, when we evaluate Zohar Bar Merakid, and we compare it with Bishul and Ofe are actually more distinctive, more from each other, in other words, than Zohar, Bora, or Merakid are. If that's true, then the Ramban reflects, again, the role of the Mishkan. Because what he's saying is that objectively, there is a greater discrepancy, and yet, they're not Avos, because they're lacking this dimension of the Mishkan. That's why Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. That would be a very important formulation in the Ramban. The other possibility is to scale down the significance of the Ramban. Which is what Ramban says sounds like the first, I think, to me at least, it sounds like the first perspective, the more radical view. It is greater discrepancy, and yet it's not because it's not in the Mishkan. Had it been in the Mishkan, considering there's a greater discrepancy, it certainly would have been more of a candidate for separate Av than Zohar Bar Merakid. That's how the Ramban sounds. If you want to scale down the Ramban, then one could argue that what all he really meant to say was that had Ofe and Bishul been in the Mishnah, and then basically with this methodology, you are faced with the following possibility. Right? You can knock out Zohar Bar Merakid, or at least one of them. Maybe Bora Merake is even closer than Zohar in a way. You can exclude that, or include Bishul and Afiyah, or the opposite. So if that was your perspective, and it was Masaru Akas of the Chachamim, or not even as radical as that, but then you would have concluded that Bishul and Ofe are more distinctive than let's say Merake and Borer are. Of course, it's not a problem for us because since it isn't in the Mishnah, therefore we are not asked to look at it objectively from that point of view. So our conclusion is that although there are differences between Bishul and Afiyah that seem more radical than Zohar Bar Merakid, the subtle distinctions of Zohar Bar Merakid are halachically more important than the more obvious distinctions between Ofa and Bishul. So then the Ramban wouldn't be saying that lahalacha, these are more important differences, but he'd be saying that theoretically, that would have been our thinking had they all been in the Mishkan. Either way, Ramban's comment is an important comment. In a similar vein, let's give another example. The Yerushalmi seems to say that had it been in the Mishkan, certainly Dawud Amos Brishas Harabim would have been a separate Av. We showed him quote this a lot, especially in the beginning of Azorek. The whole Shaka Vatari in the beginning of Azorek is basically based on this role of the Mishkan as well. Again, put together all the Gemaras, they mean more than when you encounter them separately. But the Gemara here on Mechti Zrikam told the Hotzah and so on. So at one point the Gemara says that, Zohar Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim Minala. The Mechayiv. Om Rav Yoshua Shekein Orge Yiriyah Zorkin Machteyam Zelazeh. Orgin Machtim Amalahu Elish Kein Tofra Yiriyah Zorkin Machteyam Zelazeh. The Dilmagabe Adavi, they come out of the whole Shaka Tari to try to figure out where you find Zrika. And in the end, the Gemara concludes that that you don't. And then the Gemara says, "V'su mavir davaram shus rabim minalim demachayev ela kol davaram shus rabim Gemara gemira." So there's an interesting transition in this Gemara. I don't want to go into the details right now, but it sounds like the Gemara was very focused on finding Zrika, Dafka, and the Mishkan. And then in the end, the Gemara links together the fact that Dalad Amos Brishis Arabim is Gemara Gemirla and is in the Mishkan, together with the fact that Zrika is Chayiv. The Rajba makes note of it. If you look at the Rajba here on Saif Amar Beis, so two things emerge. The Rajba basically says is, as long as the mentality of the Gemara was to look at Dalad Amos separately, they were also going to look at Zrika separately, and then they needed to find it in the Mishkan. And one could just add, Rashi also quotes the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi thought that Dalad Amos is a separate Av. And therefore, Zrika also either is a separate Av or needs to be in the Mishkan, and so on. In the Maskana, the Gemara concluded that Dalad Amos, Hilchos Gemirila, which the Rashi and many Rishonim take to mean that it's a tolda of Hotzah. Or the Rambam might have taken to mean that it's a me'ein ha'av of Hotzah. And the Rajba seems to say, and once that's true, so then Zrika falls into place as well. In other words, it seems, if I'm correct in reading the Rajba, the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara in Sarivam the base, where the Gemara initially is, needs to find Zrika in the Mishkan, needs to have a source for Dalad Amos, etc. The Havamin and the Maskana are precisely this issue. To what extent we look at Malachos of Shabbos only from the perspective, or very much in terms of the perspective of the Mishkan itself. And once you do that, then each one emerges in its own right, as we magnify and accentuate their differences into different Mechayim. Oh, Zrika is not the same as Hotzah, right? In its Tzura, it really is a little different for many reasons. And by the same token, Dalad Amos is not the same as Hotzah either. In one case, you have Chilo for Shuyos. In the other case, at least, it's not obvious that it's Chilo for Shuyos. It's just if you're walking a certain amount of Amos. Once the Gemara concludes that the way the Rajba reads the Gemara, that Dalad Amos and Hotzah are the same thing, so what the Gemara is basically saying is you don't need to go that route anymore. We shouldn't be accentuating the differences in Tzura. We should actually just be taking a more flexible, wider view about the nature of what Hotzah is. And if we look at Hotzah in a broader way, and we play down some of the specifics of the Tzura of Hotzah, so then just like Dalad Amos could be included, you know, Zrika could be included as well, as a tolda. But according to the Yerushalmi, had it been in the Mishkan, then in Ochanami, it would have been a separate Av Malacha. So again, it's the same question that we raised according to the Ramban, you can raise here. I mean, l'halacha, how much of a discrepancy is there between Dalad Amos and Hotzah Mershus HaShus? How much of a discrepancy is there between Zorek and Motzi? Is it more than Zorah Bora Merakeid? So again, if the answer is yes, but it's not in the Mishkan, then basically you're accenting Mishkan. And if the answer is, you can't compare our perspective when we're looking at these things, you know, from the perspective of being in the Mishkan, in which case we're going to accentuate and magnify the differences. Once we know it's not in the Mishkan, so that gives us a different perspective on Hotzah too. Same one could say for the Ramban. Once Ofen and Bishul are not both in the Mishkan, so then we just look at Bishul Sammanim in a different way. Okay, and the discrepancies between it and Ofen no longer become halachically important. But basically there's a struggle going on in the in the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara, Bavli and Yerushalmi, precisely about this issue. Yeah.
It's an interesting difference that the fact that Hotzah and Malacha do like Hotzah talks about, and therefore you look more willing to separate maybe.
What Tosa says about the tolds have to be in the Mishkan.
Maybe also in terms of Avos, we're more willing to break
In theory, one could say such a thing, but the fact that we have Zohar, Bora, Meraki, and we have some of these other discussions, makes it very easy to say that the Malacha Grua element is not responsible here, because we have parallels in other things. As the Gemara is saying, what about Ketisha? What about Zohar, Bora, Meraki? What about Shomin and Medakne? So the fact that these are not Malacha Gruas, and yet the role of the Mishkan in accenting the differences is still there, leads us to believe that that's not one of the elements, that's not one of the expressions of Malacha Gruah. Whereas things like the Tolda necessarily being in the Mishkan, which we don't find in any other Av, or having Psukim in Torah Shebichtav that specifically refer to Hotzah, things of that sort, which we really don't find in other Malachos, those are more likely candidates for Hotzah Malacha Gruah. Things that are more common, you could still say it, it's possible, but it's not as compelling. Okay, so the point is you have to look at this, and it comes up in other Malachos too as we go forward. What is an Av, what is a Tolda, what is included in the Av, and so on. This question of the role of the Mishkan is very, very important. This would also be perhaps tested by examining halachically whether there are any differences between Zohar, Bora, Meraki and the other avos. By which I mean, again, if la halacha, the way we understand the maskan of the Gemara here on Ein Dalet Amud Aleph, is that Zohar, Bora, Meraki are really differentiated, just we wouldn't have known it, if we didn't have this process. So then, in the end, Zohar, Bora, Meraki are like any other of malacha. Their relationship to each other is no different than their relationship to any other malacha, or any other malacha's relationship to any other malacha. Okay. On the other hand, if we conclude that really kula chadahi, and that the only reason that Zohar, Bora, Meraki are separate malachos is because of the factor of the Mishkan. But basically, we continue to cling to the idea that hainu borer, hainu Meraki, and hainu Zohar. So it's possible that that avos that are practically the same are going to be treated differently than avos that are clearly different. And that in two different ways, perhaps. Number one, in terms of tziruf l'shir. And that's an issue that Achronim discuss. Of course, it has to be qualified. If you take the view that all avos, could theoretically be mitzuraf to each other l'shir, which is the view of the Minchas Chinuch, at least in Shigigas, Shabbos, as we discussed earlier in the year. Shmuel Chaskinah changed his mind on that point from mitzvah lanad beis to mitzvah reish tzadichas. But in the end, right, he seems to argue that there is tziruf l'shir. And as we noted, that's the Shmuel Chaskinah l'shitaso. Shmuel Chaskinah really thinks that the fact that there's no chiluk malachos b'yom tov is more important than the fact that there is chiluk malachos b'shabbos. Not halachically, but conceptually. Meaning the fact that chiluk malachos b'shabbos is a chid issue. But that chiddush doesn't change the fact that there's a unity, that there's a sense of oneness to all the malachos. So because of that, the Minchas Chinuch says that there is tziruf l'shir between, you can be mitzaref l'shir as long as this qualification is twofold. Number one, only in Shigas Shabbos. And number two, only in malachos that have the same level of shir, grogeris, let's say. So kotz of a token. But you can combine kotz of a token, even though kotz of a token are totally different in their nature. That's the view of the Minchas Chinuch. But as we noted, one could theoretically argue with the Minchas Chinuch on both sides. You could be more radical than the Minchas Chinuch if you want. Namely, could it possible that there'd be tziruf l'shir to the chamor shebahem at least, even if it's different to shiurim? Right? As long as you have the shir, tziruf l'shir of the davar chamor. And is it possible, even in Shigas Malachos, that there could be Tzira for the Shir? Right? That second question, in particular, depends on some of the sugyas that we discussed in the first semester. The Greira question, the nature of Chiluk Chatos, and so on. So one could argue with the Minchas Chinuch on the more radical side of it. One could certainly argue with the Minchas Chinuch on the more moderate side. You could say there's no tzir of the shir, even in Shigas Shabbos, even if it's the same shir. And that for, again, several reasons. Either because apples and oranges, no matter how conceptually alike they are, the fact that there are physical different processes, they just don't combine. And that's nothing to do with us today. Or it could be because we disagree with his view that even in the context of Shigas Shabbos, we disagree with his view that all the malachos are one, they're different shemos, and they're or at least different ma'isaveiras. But then Lu Yitzuyar, within the body politic of the malachos, there were some malachos that really were more integrated, more one shame than others. Now, if I could say that Zorah, Bora, Merake, they really are one shame. They're different ma'isaveiras. Okay, maybe because they have a different chafza, or different stages, or you can't do them all at the same time, like the Tos HaRosh and the Ritva say. So maybe that's not enough to establish different shemos. After all, Hainu Zorah, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merake. But maybe it's different ma'isaveiras. Okay, let's say we say that. That's what we learned from the Mishkan. Or maybe not even that. It's just a halacha because of the Mishkan. So if that's true, so the apples and oranges, the conceptual apples and oranges argument, meaning you can't be mitzarif, these are different things, becomes weaker. So would it be possible to say, that Minchas Chinuch is not correct about malachos, about lasasaka malacha, but he's right about Zorah Bora Merake? Because the maskana is not that they are coats of a tochein, the maskana is apapish enam coats of a tochein, right? B'chol ofen, because of the Mishkan, or maybe on the Ma'isaveira level, if not on the Shemisa level, they're separate. But maybe it's here for sure, depends on the Shemisa, not the Ma'isaveira. The point is that not only the role that Zorah Bora Merake plays as a model for other malachos, and especially as a model for the things that are not in the Mishkan, this is what we're seeing, but even tangible nafkamina, perhaps. That could be one issue. The second issue might be the issue that, again, bothered the Kiryat Sefer, the Mabit, and bothered some other achronim too, although it completely did not bother the Minchas Chinuch, and that's the overlapping issue. The question, if you do a certain malacha, whether you're chayiv, to do a certain action, a certain pool, I should say, whether you're chayiv for multiple malachas. Can you be chayiv for Mavir and Bishul at the same time? Can you be chayiv for Makabah Patish and Bona at the same time, or Makabah Patish and Kosev at the same time, and so on and so on. There might be, again, the nuances of each malacha may come into play as well, but let's forget about that for the moment. Just the general issue, whether a single pu'ula is likely to bring you multiple chatos or not. So that issue is an interesting question. Again, we had it in the Kiryat Sefer the Mabit a little bit. Mabit said, what do you mean Zomer V'tzorach Leitzim Tzchayiv Shtayim? Why should that be? His answer ultimately was Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah, the Chumrah variety. Okay. But it bothered him. The Keren Ora is very bothered by these things. The Minchas Chinuch, I say, is not. The Minchas Chinuch, loves to overlap. Blecha Mishnah really enjoys overlapping. They see no barrier to it, and, they pile on the Isurim in some cases. Just so enthusiastic. They're not enthusiastic to make you chayiv multiple times. They're just enthusiastic about the malachos. The Keren Ora and some of the other achronim really don't like it. So the question is, what is the problem? So it could be that part of the problem is that that we always start 9:30 every Monday morning.
I don't know if I have a bris to go with.
What?
I don't know if I have a bris to go with.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good answer. I was just about to get really irate, but you just took the sting completely out of it. Sasanochi alim rasecha. Okay. So the question is, what would be the issue here? So in part, I suspect that the issue is a struggle for identity. And along the lines of what we've seen a few times, including the issue of Avos and Toldos, the Helamechad. But more to the point that we saw in the Ra'ah called by the Chidush Aran and the Chum Gimel, namely the idea that, I think some radical expressions of it, but the kernel of the idea at least is something to consider, That is that sometimes when you have two things together, they cancel each other out. Or there's a struggle to identify what exactly this is, and you're going to have one or the other. One is going to be Ika, the other is going to be Tava. We had this in Psikresha, right, in closing the door when you walk out and you're being Tzadzvi at the same time, the Rajba, the Shulta Givorim issue. And we had it in the Ra'ah, who says a Psikresha, the Lo Nichale is in an issue of two Malachos, that suggested something similar for the Rambam. So, in general, this is a question, I think, that maybe when you do two malachos are vying, for this pu'ula at the same time, so there's a question of one excluding or crowding out or eclipsing the other. The point is that might be true when you're dealing with different malachos. Now again, here the question of difference and similarity can really go in either direction. In this case, I think it goes in one direction. In general, as objectively, if I were to ask this question, is there greater competition between things that are more different or things that are more similar? And that's a complicated question. And we find this phenomenon all over halacha and all over life. Right? It goes sometimes in different directions. Sometimes, things are so radically different, they can coexist because they really don't compete with each other. Things that are more similar crowd each other out. And in other cases, it's the opposite. Things that are, part of a single process or consistent can integrate. And things that are just so radically different, are either one or the other. So, it comes up in Baal Tosif and B'minei Makrim, Shelo B'minei Lo Makrim, other such things. It comes up a lot. And I think it's an issue in Hilchos Shabbos too, if we're talking about overlapping malachos. But the point is that there are some achronim who say that when it comes to Zorah, Bora, Merakeid, there's no problem. If Lu Yitzuya, physically you have it, I think Eitan, where is it? Oh, there it is. I think Eitan Mayu, I mentioned, right? The Tosa Rosh yesterday, which is also the Ritva's view, which is that Zorah, Bora, Merakeid can't be done at the same time. Maybe they're different stages of the process. But if you can get past that part of it, the point is that even if you generally hold that there's a competition and a crowding out when it comes to other malachos, it's quite possible that Zorah Bora Merakeid really is unique. Okay. So there are two elements to consider. One is the issue of overlapping generally, and second, the application to individual malachos. That's where Zorah Bora Merakeid, again, may clearly emerge as not the same as Kotzer V'Tochein, but as a maybe different Maisaveras, but one shame, maybe even one type of Maisaver, yeah.
It's possible to add that was the Machlokes on Kuflam Ches Hasra, where the Amoraim are specifically arguing whether something is Merakeid or Borer.
Right.
And so you could say that specifically there where
Mishumai Masrina.
Yeah, Mishumai Masrina. The Gemara specifically says maybe there you can flip-flop and say one or the other. And it's interesting that about that, it's truly on Nabachokas, that the Tosfos Grid says you need to be master for the specific...
Well, he makes it clear that it's universal.
So it's an even bigger finish. Even by Boer and Merakeid, which are more similar,
right.
The Tosfos Grid wants to say that. So. Right.
That's an interesting point. I think it is a good aura. To get Sugin Kuvlam Ches is Boer and Merakeid. Could be. Yeah.
Yes, in terms of that Gemara, so it's just interesting that Rashi and some other Rishonim understand that my Amar Mishum Borer is not Mishum Borer. That it's really Merakeid. But he's going to their Master Mishum Borer, that it's also Masra. So it's really, you could see according to the Tosfos Grid that it's about the differences, but according to Rashi and the other Rishonim, it could be about the similarities.
I think Akiva is saying it is about the similarity. He's saying the Chiddush would be, even though there's similarities, you still need, not that the similarities would require a more specific Hasra, it would require less specific Hasra, the Apal Pichain.
According to Rashi, it could be for either Merakeid or Borer.
Right.
According to my number, Borer.
Right. So again, this, I think, we should keep our eyes open for Tzira Plashir, we should keep our eyes open for... bundling into one pu'ula, and Hasra is another good example. It could be other issues as well. But all of these will only make sense if the maskana of the Gemara is that the Mishkan continues to play a role in Zorah Bora or Merakeid. Not that the Mishkan is the source, which has revealed to us that these apparently small differences are halakhically greater differences, and therefore we're dealing with coats of the token. Okay, so that's these are very, very important issues, and when Rishonim quote Zohar Barmerake, we have to be open and sensitive to appreciating what they're in fact referring to. Okay, the next thing we discussed was Ketisha, which we discussed. I think it also reflects some of the issues. Okay, according to the Re, Ketisha ends up being nothing. Yeah.
When we were learning Davis in Muscadet, so we had questions that were like, where there's a one pula where you said it was because of those two cases, like there's two things happening.
Right.
So why is it that in those cases we will look at it as like two things happening, but here we see it has to be one.
Well, I don't know if it has to. I mean, in the Rishonim, I think it's they really don't. The Rishonim themselves don't ever say that there's a problem with overlapping. The only one who says it is in a case of Sikresha, and that's the Ra'ah. Ra'ah says that Sikresha, which is normally a reason to be Mechayev you, because they're, you know, you're saying that it is one integrated action. But if you have a Sikresha of two Malachos, that's the Ra'ah's Pshat and Kuf Gimel. Then the Ra'an quotes it, the printing Ra'an. If you have two malachos together, bifsikresha, so then it's one becomes ikar and the other becomes tafel. The one you're mechavim for becomes ikar, the other one becomes tafel.
We only mentioned this in regards to bifsikresha.
No. I'm just saying in the Rishonim, this idea I think is very is very limited. The other place where you have it is not when it's bivasachas, but again this Rashi and Balakama idea of av and tolda being ikar and tafel, one in light of the other. A third place, maybe where you have it, I'm not sure about it. There's a very radical Rabbeinu Chananel, but it's just so radical, it just may not be worth speaking about. I'll just mention that. What? Yeah. The Gemara in the first parak says that, you know, Madbik, if you put dough in the oven, so Madbik Paspatanur, so, you know, the guy puts a Paspatanur on Shabbos and he forgets about it. And the Gemara has a whole discussion in Gimel Beis Dalet Amud Aleph whether he can take it off or not. So the Gemara says, you can, you can't. Right? Hamidu Divrayim, Lo Hamidu Divrayim. So that taking it off would entail Radia Sapas, right? Taking off the, scraping off the pas. So the, some of the Rishonim are bothered by this. They say, what's the big deal? You know, what's the downside? What's the counter pressure? Save yourself from a malacha. Why can't you do that? So most Rishonim, after all, the Gemara says on Kufi Zayin and Shabbos, right? So all Rishonim work with that, and they basically say that it's chachma vein malacha. That doesn't mean it isn't a drabbanan. Rashi says it's a shvus. Tosa says it's drabbanan. The Ran says it's over the call. All sorts of different views in the Rishonim. There's one line in Rabbeinu Chananel which is just incredible. Rabbeinu Chananel on Dalet says he quotes Yesh Omrim, and he says that Radia Sapas, that is a chachma vein malacha. That is when it is already baked. If it's baked and you take it off the oven, that's called a lot. But if it's not yet baked and it's still doughy, right, or batter, whatever it is, and you take it off, that's lisha. And that's what the Gemara was talking about. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosis quotes us in Rosh Hashanah as saying it's lisha drabbanan, but that's not what Rabbeinu Chananel says. Rabbeinu Chananel really, do you have it there, too? It's on the next daf in the, because it's always lags, and it's on Dalet Amud Beis in the Gemara. But you have it, Yaakov? Go ahead.
Yeshamer k'diyas ha-pas ha-fuya hi chachma v'ina malacha. Aba r'diyasa b'hoda isa kodim shikarma panaha malacha hi.
Yeah.
Alasira ha-pas ha-fuya efshal r'dosa b'saki m'chiyot sabha. Ala isa hi efshal r'dosa ala b'yadayim sh'nimtza k'mo lash v'orech.
Yeah.
V'misaki h'vina m'kalka.
One more line, I think.
Yeah.
Tana de Shmuel is the statement that the Gemara later on in Kufi Zayin that it's Chokma Veina Malacha. So it's not like Rabbeinu Chananel thinks that Radia Sapas is a Doraisa, that it's Lush. So the that's just astonishing because then it's hard to read the Gemara. The Gemara is wondering whether or not you should do Lush in order to save yourself from Bishul. Actually, the Balamor also anticipated this, not Rabbeinu Chananel, but the Rif. All the Rishonim were bothered by the Sugya, and they said, after all, it's Chacham Veinu Malacha. So the Balamor says, and you want it to be a malacha, so then it would make even less sense, because dochin malacha mepnei malacha. That's what the Balamori, you have the line there. Aleph of a base and dapir rib. The little one, the little, like the two line Balamori. Palomar's joke, of course. Can we read the Rabban's response? Go ahead. This is what do all the Rishonim want? They're upset that it's a chokhmah of ein malacha. They would understand the sugya better if it was a malacha. If it was a malacha, it would be worse, because ein dochem malacha mipnei malacha, right? So the truth is, when you look at that Rabbeinu Chananel, you say, you know, this is astonishing. It's hard to read the sugya. But is Rabbeinu Chananel saying that if you do a malacha to save yourself from a malacha, that you're potter from that malacha? Or that it's only drabanan? It's very, very radical. But is that what he means? Now, why would doing a malacha to save yourself from a malacha be only drabanan? It's do malacha daraisa. What? So it isn't exactly malacha netzricha legufa, right? I mean, as we've noted, it isn't exactly malacha, but it could be it's a lack of malacha malacha. Really, it's a kind of, I think what it is, if it's true, is that the malacha that you're doing is really tafel to the malacha that you're. We have two types of mikra tafels. The ra'ah has a, you're doing the malacha, and the psik ratio you happen to be doing, you're really interested in doing malacha A, but. The way you do it, so the ratio, you end up doing malacha B. Malacha B pales into insignificance in terms of malacha A that you're really interested in, where you have kavana. So B is tafel, and therefore that's not daraisa. In the case of Rabbeinu Chananel, malacha B pales because they're not coincidental. There's no ratio here, but it might be the same idea. You're not doing malacha B because you want to do malacha. You're doing malacha B because you want to. It's subservient to malacha A. You're trying to get out of Malacha A. So that's a Malacha's Tafel. That's not Malacha's Machshavas.
So in that case, it's not predicated on being forced to having only one slot with which to like put the Malacha and being forced to choose one or the other. There's just based on the relationship between
them. There it's based on the relationship. In the case where you do it in one Pa'ula, right. I think that creates artificially the same kind of problem.
Could you have a case where if you were asking about Darshan's covenant, it would be two actions, but if you're asking about what we're talking about now, it would be one.
From an Ein HaMeskavim point of view, it's two actions, because you could do one without the other. But since you choose to do them together, if there was some Easter in other words. Yeah, I think so. Okay, so basically this is Zohar Bar Marakit is very, very important. Shobat and Bedaknik is very important. Not only for what they are, it's not just Kashas and Teirutsin. The point is, these are, how you shift these is the issue in the factor of Mishka. Ketisha also, as we pointed out, again, the whole shock of the Tari, but the of Nami Katisha, and then the Gemara's answer, Shekein Oni Ochel Pito, below Katisha, so as we point out, according to the Re, where it says it's not Chashuv anywhere, so that's one. By the way, we definitely don't, if that's what the Rebbe Chananel means, we definitely don't pass it that way. Just want to make it clear. It's radical enough to suggest this idea, even, but it's just, it's almost off the charts, the idea that you can, that a malacha to save you from a malacha, is not also in the Torah. Okay.
That wouldn't be a sign in the case of Shogi where it prevents another person from that wouldn't be a factor.
So that's the sugya later on, I ask that question. The Gemara says, you should be chote kadesh tzedakah chavercha. That's part of the Gemara.
So if there's a factor then? Or there's a assumption the
you mean in general? You mean in general, if a person does something to get somebody else off the hook, it should be kind of tough and it should be potter?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to extend. I think it might be just a din in Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. But I think it's so radical that I wouldn't want to extend it. I just think it's an amazing. If he means it, it's an amazing thing. if it's not my explanation, it's something like it, because either way, he's saying, do this, can you, what happens if you do this daraisa to save you from another daraisa? The issue in the Gemara is whether you're allowed to do it. Not even whether you're chayiv for it. Okay, anyways. So according to the Ri, as we say, Katisha ends up being nothing in the Sugya. But according to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, and so on, it could be that we learn a lot from Katisha. And what it is that we learn is different according to the different views. Again, according to Rashi, it depends what he means. So according to the Ritva's view of Rashi, which is what we spoke about yesterday, a little towards the end, it turns out that there are 40 Avos Malacha in the Mishkan. That itself is a big Chiddush. Ketisha and Dosh or Tochen or Bora, whichever it is, are very, very similar to each other, to the extent that if you do it outside of the Mishkan context, namely you do it in the context of Bafia, not in the context of Sammanim, according to the Ritva's reading of Rashi, you are not Chayiv separately. So it's a testimonial to the power of the Mishkan to create, something out of nothing, even though that something out of nothing is limited to the exact circumstance of the Mishkan. But in Kvaros, Kvaros makes sense. It's Chiddush, but it's... Okay, so that's Rashi according to Ritva. Again, if you don't hold like that, then the other way to read Rashi is that Sidur de Pas will impinge upon our assessment of Katisha, even in the Mishkan. Then it becomes a function of the relationship between Mishkan and Chashivos being defined by something else. So on the contrary, it would be not exactly opposite, but it would be quite far from, we're saying, even though in the Mishkan this is Chashuv, since outside of the Mishkan it's not Chashuv, outside of the Mishkan in a context which matters to us, like Sidur de Pas, and apparently Sidur de Pas then isn't just a device of some sort to help you remember the Malachos. According to Rashi, this is an issue that needs to be discussed more fully. Sidur de Pas is important for the Malachos. So if something is Eino Chashuv in Sidur de Pas, even though it's Chashuv in the Mishkan, it doesn't qualify as an at. So that, it's not exactly opposite, but it's a different orientation, a very different orientation than Rashi coined to the Ritva. Okay. And then we had the discussion of Rabbeinu Tam and the Ramban, as we already discussed. Let's say the Afia was in the Mishkan in the context of Tcheles, and the question of its Chashivus in that context, would that have been enough to make Afia and Bishul separate Avos Malachos, or not? Okay. But the fact of the Mishkan as a basis for Chiyuv and Ptur is also reflected in other sugyas, each of which needs to be analyzed fully, which we're not going to do right now, but again, food for thought when you come to it. I mentioned that, especially according to the Ramban's reading of the Gemara Mem Tesla Beis, that the debate between Malacha, Malacha, Malachto, and Malacha Shem Mishkan, the Gemara brings the raya from Hein Zaru, Atem Lo Sizru, and so on. So I made a suggestion that especially the last line of Hoshata might be important. Okay. The reason that might be important is because Hoshata is a rule, seems to be a rule-breaking chiyuv, because we're talking about a makom p'tur. Right? You're carrying the agalas themselves were 10, and the Hoshata, therefore, was over 10. So according to the normal laws of Hotzah, there should have been no chiyuv at all. So how can Hoshata even exist? So I was suggesting that's the ultimate proof of that Gemara that we derive from the Mishkan. If we derive from the Mishkan, then even though it's an exception to the rule, apparently, the Mishkan can compensate for that. So that's the whole Mishkan Sadi Bavu Med Aleph, and it requires of us an analysis of Moshe, which is not for now, but what the Mishnah says here is over Shziyach Shzerabim Shzerabim Shziyachid. Right, if you have from Shesiachis from Shesayachid, even though intervening with Shesarabim, or the Kibbutz Machayv of Chamin Poltrin, Ketzad, Shtei Gezustro, Zukeneged Zubish Shesarabim, Amoshev Azorik and Zubazupotor, Hayushtein Bedyuta Achas Amoshit Chayiv Azorek Patzor. So this idea that Bedyuta Achas Amoshit is Chayiv, even though there are two rules that appear to be broken here. One is Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabin Be'emtza. That's one. And the other is, again, this idea of Hoshata Lamala Me'asara. There's a third rule as well. Anybody know the third rule? Possibly. I told you to look at Tosfos on Daf Gimel. Jeremy? Matas? What? Can you hear you? Mahalach Kohenet? No. It's an important topic, but for now it's not. What's the third possible? Possible. Can you? See? Shnayim Shasu. Very good. So Tosfos on Daf Gimel and Aleph here. So the Gemara talks about here in Hamatzniya that Shnayim Shasu are Pturim. Shnayim Shasu are Pturim. So the question arises, was it or wasn't it in the Mishkan? And then that's the question that's going to bother you less or more, depending on our topic. Right? You know, again, we start off with the understanding that not everything that is in the Mishkan is going to be Kovei. As we said, there are many coincidences in the Mishkan, and so on and so forth. But, again, the direction that we're taking is, the more the Mishkan is Mechayev and Koveya, the more its details matter. And the more it's possible that it can create exceptions to the rules, or rewrite the rules, however you want to put it. Whereas, if the Mishkan is just a frame of reference, and, you know, just reflects certain things, so the breaking of rules is really not going to be tolerable. We might reevaluate rules in light of the Mishkan, but we're not going to break rules, essentially. And certainly details are going to be less important. Okay. So the what bothers tells us here is if there was Shnayim Shasuhu, if there's no Shnayim Shasuhu in the Mishkan, so what do you need a limud to exclude it? Basosa. And if it was in the Mishkan, so on what basis is the limud enough to exclude it? So that whole dialectic itself is about our topic. Right? Can you have a Gzeres HaKasu that excludes something that is in the Mishkan if it's in the Mishkan? Unless you say that what the Gzeres HaKasu reveals is that this was, you know, an extraneous element of the Mishkan, a coincidental part of the Mishkan. Then that's the way you'd have to formulate it if the Mishkan continues to hold sway. If, on the other hand, the Mishkan is just a reference point, so then the Gzeres HaKasuv teaches you don't refer to this part of it. It's much easier. So the whole discussion in Tosfos itself is along these lines, and other Rishonim echo this in other places throughout the Masechta. Kashtu l'ri, vidat shruchin and korolif dar mashu mazeo gav zemin yachayif v'mishkan. V'perka matzniya nami potrav shimon zeyni yachol zeyni yachol afif yishayif v'mishkan. Kegon beis shenosin es aron. Yubashali perka zorei, kahodetan shnegiz ustros, b'shis harabim, o yishtem b'dyuta achas, amoshet chayim, omar nachman, omar b'shem rabbi yasha, b'isha, b'vad ayudei beis, b'parich, b'chol atar, omres beis shosu, p'turim, b'kan omres chayavim, b'mishani, shakachoy sa'avod es halavim, b'hash tu mabikach, shahoy sa'v mishkan, b'kol makam, ha'vod lifter, moshit, kiv d'shneim, osin ansa. So, there's a question in its own right. What if you have a Gzeres HaKasuv, but it's in the Mishkan? Do you need a Gzeres HaKasuv if it wasn't in the Mishkan? Will it help you once it is in the Mishkan? That is the question specifically about Moshe, based on the line of the Yerushalmi, meaning, so what if it was in the Mishkan? What we've seen is it's against the rules, A. B, there's even a Gzeres HaKasuv, Basosa, Achas, Velo Shtayim. So Tosis' answer happens to be to reject the Yerushalmi in a way. There were already the b'moshit ein za'okav zaminiach, b'moshit asakir b'hanacha. Velakashli b'rushalmi elamash inu mechayiv moshit elakashachaver mekabel miyado. Avle b'moshit manichol rishus ayachin patur b'chomakar b'nei chaver patur tzvei from beishosu v'kan inu mechayiv b'nei chaver. The Yerushalmi is to be taken not literally. Yerushalmi means. If Shnayim Shasu are Patur, which means that any additional assistance or interference is only something that can dilute a malacha, not add to malacha, how could it be that Moshe requires chavera? But Yerushalmi never meant to say that Shnayim Shasu in Moshe is actually chayim. If it was Zeok or Zemeniach, even in the context of Moshe, it would be potter, but that's not what happens. One does the Akira and the Hanacha, just that the Kabbalah of the other chavero, his presence, his assistance, whatever, as a prop, whatever it is, that's part of the Shem Malacha of Moshe. So Yerushalmi said, but that's also radical. So what's the Kamash Mol in the end? That it's a little bit radical, but not as radical as Tosas thought, or maybe it's not radical at all. Maybe the presence of the fellow is a prop, and it's not assistance, it's nothing. Okay. But it's quite possible to read the Yerushalmi as Tosas read it in the Havamina, the Ritva in Hazorek. So he reads it that way. Says, no, the Ritva goes further. The Ritva says that maybe it has to be that way. Maybe it has to be Shnayim Shasu in Moshe, like it was in the Mishka. If one guy does the whole thing himself, maybe you're Patur. Okay. The point is, without going into Moshe any further than this whole distinction of Dutacha Shnei Dutos, Lamala Me'asara, even though it's a Makom Patur, Shnayim Shasu and its various configurations. The more that the Mishkan is Mechayev and Koveya, right, the more these things sit well with us. And if not, then again, we just have to use the Mishkan the way, you know, the way we suggested with Zohar Bar Merake. The Mishkan, you know, tells us we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to look at Moshe again. We have to understand why it really isn't an exception to the rule. Maybe it's not an exception to the rule of Makom Patur either. Maybe the way that this Hotzah or Hoshata is done is something which, you know, pulls us down to the ground in a way, even if part of it is Lamala Me'asara. Right? Just as if a person was walking, you know, through Rishus HaRabim and he was holding something Lamala Me'asara, we don't consider that to be a Patur based on Makom Patur. Right? So there's something about the nature of Hoshata which, even though it looks like it's a Makom Patur, isn't. And there's something about Hoshata that, even though it looks like Shnayim Shasu, Tosfos does part of the job for us, it isn't. And there's something about Hoshata that, even though it looks like it's Mirshus Hayachid, Mirshus Hayachid, Mirshus Harabim, Be'emtza, which is normally Patur, but it isn't. And indeed, there are Rishonim who think that Rishus Hayachid, Rishus Hayachid, Rishus Harabim, Be'emtza really is basically Chayav, not Patur. Tosas on Da Beis Amin Aleph in Shabbos, and Tosas Neiravim, right? The question how to read them, how to understand them, but the point is that the three exceptions of Hoshata, each one has to be assessed. But how you look at the Mishkan is crucial to that whole analysis. Okay. Similarly, Gemara Tzadi, the Mishnah Tzadi Beis Amin Aleph, Misha says, Hamotzi baby mino bein bismolo, bitocheko, or alksefo, chayim. Shekein masa b'nei kahas. So again, masa b'nei kahas is used in the Mishnah to justify, even with your left hand, even bitocheko, even alksefo. Again, I say lamala miasara, if it's sitting lamala miasara, alksefo. So there are two ways to understand this Mishnah. Again, one is, that's the Mechayiv. In the Ochanami, these are rule breakers. It really is Kelach HaYad from every other standard. It's the Lamala Me'asara, and so on and so forth. Alfa Bichain, Shekein Ma'asav Nekaz. The rules are no better than the Mechayiv. Or, in light of Shekein Ma'asav Nekaz, we now see that Yumin and Smol is an important factor in Ksiva, but it's not an important factor in Hotzah. Right, and we should look at the malacha of Hotzah in a different way. Maybe we're interested more in the result than we are in the Maisa. There could be many explanations. As I said before, the Lamala Me'asara part, because not because Lamala Me'asara, but because it's connected to your body, to your feet, which are firmly implanted on the ground. Could be many explanations. But how you understand these halachos very much depends on our factor. And then, of course, there's the Balamor and the Tosis that we already discussed. Or the Balamar says that Zora and Borer really are Malacha Shem Tzricha Legufa. However, The Lach Shem Tzrichel Gufa Bezorah Borah is going to be chayiv because that's what it was in the Mishkan. The other Rishonim don't like that formulation. They think that these are klalim, and you just can't say the Mishkan isn't going to be an exception to that. Better to say what the Ramban and the others say. Bezorah and Borah are not Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa. Right? The Chefza is not the the psoles. It's the ochel or the tikkun, the davar hamatukan or the guf or whatever it is. But the Balamor's idea works much better if you give central status to the Mishkan. By the same token, Tosas's view about Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa. Again, if Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa in each malacha isn't dependent upon the objective status of the malacha, but on the way that it was implemented in the Mishkan, that's in terms of Ikara of the Sharasho, that gives great prominence to the Mishkan, unquestionably. Okay, this issue, I'm going to have to go on like one more minute, but this issue also, I think, is important to the whole structure of Avos and Tolos, and that's what I want to get back to at the moment. There's much more to say about the Mishkan. We'll encounter other things as we go on, but at least we have, I think, a basis rooted in some clear Makoros, Gemaras, Rishonim, etc., to look at the other cases where it comes up. Let's get back to Avos and Tolos though, for a minute. And that is the next question to consider is whether there's something called a Tolda B'Tolda, and whether there's a category called Me'ima. Let's just introduce this, and then we'll finish all of this off tomorrow. The Mishnah on Samach Chesam Aleph, you noted this already, uses this expression, Me'ein Ha'av. And the question is whether, like the third case of the Mishnah, Osa Malachas Harbe Me'ein Malach Achas, Ein Ochai Malachatas Achas. Okay. So what does that mean? In this context, what does it mean? So you have the expression Me'ein Malach Achas. The Mishnah also tells us very clearly here, Osa Malachas Harbe Me'ein Malach Achas and Achai V'Lachatas Achas, that if you do these in one Helem, you're only Chayiv Achas. The Gemara in the beginning of Baba Kama, Dav Beis Amud Aleph, and again here on Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis, right? Gemara says, La Fuke is Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis? No, I'm sorry, Ayin Hei Amud Beis. Gemara says that, Eil Avos Malachos, Eil La Fuke Midrav Lazar, Rabbi Lazar, the Mechayev Al Tolda B'Makoma. Right, so the Gemara hints at what it says on Sadi Vav Amadeis and Baba Kama. Right, Shins Asan Kulan, point to the Chachamim, what makes Avos and Toldos? Shim Asan Kulan Behelam Echad, Ab Makom Tolda. Am I Karle Avo? Am I Karle High Avo? Am I Karle High Tolda? Nav Kamina the Yovid Shtei Avos Bahadi Adadi Namishtei Toldas Bahadi Adadi Mechayev Tarti. The Yovid Avo Tolda Didei Lo Mechayev Alachad. So Tosis already asked the question on Ein Hamad Beis. Adira Maskil Ula Rabbi Eliezer. No, sorry. Adira Maskil. I'm sorry. Ein Hamad Beis. Wrong down. Ein Hamad Beis. Tosas Dibre Maschil Pare Elu. Vim Tomar. Mireisha Shomin and Leid. Zitran. Osa Malachas Harbet. Ne Malach Achas. En Lechai Balachas. So why does the Gemara on Sadi Bama Beis and Bama Kama Beis and the illusion of the Gemara on Ein Hamad Beis to this discussion with Hanukkah and Rabbi Lazar, you're not kind of told them, but come on, why isn't that already explicit in the Mishnah? By asking this question, Tosus assumes either one of two things. Either that when the Mishnah says that you're chayiv, we do also malach achas, me'ein osa ha'av, that you're chayiv malach achas yachas, that is the equivalent of saying, gentlemen, Haven't told her. So why does the Mishnah need to say it twice? Why does the Mishnah say it there and also lafuke? But why the two makos? Or that if there is a difference, that there's no nafkamina with regard to this issue. But it sounds like Tosa thinks that there's no difference. As far as I know, Bali Tosa never ever acknowledged the existence of something called me'ima. Theoretically, it's possible to say that there are really two different dinim here. That the Mishnah is kilashona, and that ha'osa av me'ena, ha'osa malachos me'ena osa av is not a tolda. It's a parallel av. As for the discussion of the Gemara, that's explicit. The Gemara says, my ikka bein av a tolda. Why do you call an av and you call a tolda? That's explicitly about avas and toldos. There, we're told that there's a discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether or not Yechayev Achas or Yechayev HaKol Echad V'Echad. Now, should we even raise the possibility that according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe there would be a difference between Nein, Osa, Av, and Avatolda? So that we'll have to hold out and see. Possible. That would be very impressive to find that. In the Rambam, I think it's certainly true that the Rambam understands that these are two different Gemaras. He quotes them separately. And possibly even differently. In Perek Zayin of Shabbos, first of all, you know the Rambam of everybody is the one who believes in this distinction. Perek Zayin Halacha Beis Kol Elo Hamalachos V'Kol Shehum Me'inyanam. Heyman Akrem Avos Malachos. So already you have Kol Shehum Me'inyanam, which is separate from the list of the Mishnah. Ketzad Hu Inyanam, what does that mean? Echad Achoresh Achofer Osa Charitz Hareza Av Malacha. Okay. The Rambam thinks that Chafira and the Charitz are not toldos, but Av Malacha. Shekal Achas Nehen Chafira Bekarka V'inyan Echadu. V'chein Echad Azareh Azroim Hanotei Lano, Samavrich Ilano, Samarkibo Azomer, Kol Elo Av Echadim. Me'ovos Malachos, Ve'inen Echadu. Very clear in the Rama. Kol Achas Mehem Litzameach, Dabar Hubiskat. Vechein, Echad HaKotzer Tvuo, Kitnio, So Votzer Navim, Ungodr Tmarim, Mosek Zaysim, Ora Te'enim, Kol Elo Av Malachos. Kol Achas Mehem Lachar Dabar Migdula Miskabim. Valder Gzu Shar Avos. Hatolda, this Halacha Hei, He ha malacha ha dom mila av me'elo ha'avos. So the Rambam has me'en av, and he has told us. Ketzad, ha mechatech es ha'yerek ma'atma. Now you might, in analyzing the Rambam, you might wonder why some things are me'en av and other things are told of. In some cases it's mystifying. But we need to reconstruct backward, based on the Rambam's classification, how did he understand, you know, the nature of the malachas? But that he has two different categories, one called Toldo, one Nein Av, is completely explicit in the Rambam, both here in Hilchos Shabbos and in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shkogos. Now, I should add that it goes even further than that in the Rambam. To say that there is something called Nein Av, which isn't exactly in the Mishkan or on the list of the Lama Tesavos Malachos, is already an important statement. But what's perfectly clear from the Rambam's list of Me'en Ha'avs, like Chofer as opposed to Choresh, or Osa Charitz as opposed to Choresh, or in Zoreya, that it includes not only Zoreya, but also Noteya, not only Noteya, but Mavrich, Markib, and Zomer, especially Zomer, but even Mavrich and Markib, is that not only does the Rambam expand Avos in his Me'en Ha'av, but that he does so in a substantive way. Meaning there are things that look like different Suros and different slightly different substance, whose stature or whose level of similarity to the Av still qualifies them as real Avos, Me'en Ha'av. So, for example, does the fact that the Rambam thinks that Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabin or Hachnasa are Avos, which he does, And those are both controversial points. Many are showing King Dawud Amis Mishikarabim is a tolda. Others think that it's halakha Moshe Mishina and it's a factor in its own right. Speak a little, made reference to it once already. I think a nine base on the Aleph. Speak about the Ramban and the Mishnah as well, just very briefly. There are different views about the nature of Dawud Amis Mishikarabim. But the Rambam clearly views Dawud Amis Mishikarabim as an av. He clearly views Hachnasa as an av. So partially that's due to his perspective on Hachnasa of Dawud Amis Mishikarabim. But undoubtedly it's because in general the Rambam has an expanded view of avos, namely this concept of Me'ein Av. So when you're comparing the Rambam and other Rishonim, or any two Rishonim, in their assessment of a particular malacha, you have to really analyze it on two levels. Number one, you have to have the sense of, you know, the larger issue. In Hilchos Shabbos, what does Av, Me'ein Av, and Tolda mean for the Rambam? What does it mean for Tosfos? What does it mean for the Rabbeinu Chananel? What does it mean for the Ra? It's hard to pin that down when you're discussing a local sugya. But at least theoretically, that's something you would want to know. And since the Rambam does have an expanded view of Av, that has to be part of the equation. And of course, the second issue is, how does he evaluate this particular application? How does he understand Hachnasa and Hotzah? How does he understand, is it Chilo for Shuyos? Is it carrying something of a certain shear for a certain amount of time or a certain space? And so on and so forth. So there are really two points that always have to be looked at. The Rambam clearly has the Ein Av and an expanded Ein Av, in addition to Talmud. Then when the Rambam says, Echad ha'osa av me'avos malachos, o tolda min ha'toldos, v'meizet chayiv kares, imbo edim niskal, v'shogi chayiv chatos. It's fascinating. So again, the Rambam doesn't say av and me'ein av, he says av and tolda. And the Ein Av, of course, is with the Av. Rambam needs to spell out separately that Tolda is also fully Chayiv Nisa. That's Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin. Im kein ma hefresh yesh bein avos va toldos, ein benen hefresh el inin ha-korban bilvad. That's a funny line. Elo, the inin ha-korban bilvad sounds like he's saying ein ela, but that sounds pretty radical. Okay, now it's misleading because as we continue, we read in Rambam, Sha'osa b'shoge g'masa avos harbe b'elam echad chay v'chatas al kalav v'ach. G'masa avos toldosa b'elam echad in a chay v'chatas achas. So if all the Rambam meant to say was that if you do an av and you do its tolda, it's like doing the av twice, right? This is a very bad formulation of it. Because originally it sounds like there's some difference in an akarba. It says bilvad, but there's a major difference between avos and toldos regarding karbanos. Even though a tolda can be mechayev a karban, but osa shogeg osa avos harde kolava avos tolda ein chayev lechatas achas. But that's true in av mein av too. So what's he saying? And it's clear that he's talking about toldos. Even that language, Shaharei lo asa ela av echad v'taldosav. V'chein kol kiyotze v'zeh. Then in Halacha Tes, the Rambam says, Ha'osa malachas harbed mei malacha achas, v'helem echad, en achai v'lachatas achas. So, number one, consistent with the Rambam's whole presentation, the Halacha of av and tolda didei, and av u'me'ina av shelo, are in two different halachas. When it comes to Av, the Tolda Didei makes a big fuss. It makes it sound like there's some major discrepancy with regard to Karbanos. Not only that, the formulation is, in the end, Shaharei lo asa ela Av echad v'toldosav. Sounds like it's a package. When it comes to the other halacha, Osa malacha sarva mei malacha achas be'elam echad en achayi v'lach chatas achas keitzad zara v'nata v'hirva v'hirku and v'zamar be'elam echad en achayi v'lach chatas achas shekula na v'echadein. And lo asa ala av echad v'toldosav, doesn't say lo asa ala ha'av umeid ha'av shalom. So basically, what I think is going on in the Rambam is that the Rambam is telling us, getting back to Rashi and Bava Kamma and so on, basically, I think what the Rambam is saying is that there are two different Makoros, two different Dinim. All the Rishonim, one is going to be most comfortable saying this is the Rambam. There's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, also, right, Av, Me'ein, or Osa Malacha, Me'ein, Osa Ha'av, this Kai Vachas, Chavdina, Me'ein Av, you know, Bimakom Ha'av Shalom. That's the Mishnah. According to the Rambam, read that Mishnah Kipshuto. That's in Pirsha Mishnayis. Again, if you look at Pirsha Mishnayis in the Rambam, Alatar, in the beginning of Kal Gadol, he makes it perfectly clear. That's how he reads the Mishnah. And Hilchos Shkagos as well. Just look at that for one more minute. I'm already running late. But just finish this point. Right, if you look at Pirsha Mishnayis Alatar, and you look at Hilchos Shkagos, again, it's Me'ein Osa'ah. That's the whole thrust of the Rambam. Again, halacha hey, osav told dosav belamechod in a chayv lachatas achas. We'll get to this tomorrow. Ein tzarich lomar. What is the ein tzarich lomar? Ha'osa told us harbe shall av echod in a chayv lachatas achas. Get to that. Also, toldo shall avzeh, toldo shall avzeh, behelam echad, yearly, we'll get to that too, shuchayv shtei chatos. And then halacha zayin is, also, malachas harbe, mei malach achas, kigon zar benotach vehivrich vehirki, behelam echad, edo chayv alachatas achas. Karnas bari, bichos Shabbos, avos vatoldo, so malachos, shein vein avos. So he refers you back to Ilchos Shabbos, and he makes it perfectly clear again in Ilchos Shkagos that he separates these two dinim. So I think, again, the Rambam's idea is that Avu Me'ein Ha'av is simply Kefal Ha'asiyah. It's not a Ptur in Korban, it's not a Din in Korban, it's not special halacha that the Me'ein Ha'av is different than the Av. It's not the Av, it's not the Me'ein Ha'av, it's just Katsar V'Katsar V'Katsar V'Katsar, talking to talking to talking to talking. That's all. You wouldn't say about talking to talking to talking to talking. Oh, it's a special din in Karbanos, you only bring one. Not a special din. Just a kefal ha'maisa. But avatolda, the Rambam thinks, is tolda's not the same as the av. There, the reason that you're only chayv achas is not because tacham v'tacham. It's like Rashi says. Tolda b'mokam av is not mechayv a karban. Tolda in its own right is mechayv a karban. The makom ha'av, it's not mechayev a karban. That's a din actually in a hefresh bein av v'tolda. An av is always mechayev a karban. A tolda is not mechayev a karban. The makom ha'av, because then it's eclipsed. It's more vulnerable. That also explains why the Rambam's ain't sarach lomar v'yirali. Rambam has real problems, right, with two toldas of the same av. What's going to be the relationship between that and the av and the tolda, as well as two toldos, a tolda from each av, a tolda zorei and tolda kotzei. You do them together. Right? No other Rishon is going to say yearly. Yearly? First of all, the Rishonim all point out, the Ram and Rambam ask the question, look at the definition for tomorrow. It's an explicit Gemara Bava Kamma, isn't it? Trey toldos, the trey avos, is chayav. What's Rambam's yearly? The Rambam's Ein Tzarich Lomar and his yearly require analysis. But the point is, because whatever we're going to say about it, the Rambam has introduced toldos. Toldos are not the same as Me'ein Av. So Ein Rambam has an expanded Me'ein Av. It's not just that you could say, some people have Me'ein Av, you know, oh, this is Bechitim, that's Sorim, this is, Shipoas, Shual, the differences are really minor. For the Rambam, some of the Me'ein Av differences are significant. But that's still the halacha Me'ein Av. That's the Av. The Tolda is different than an Av. If the Rambam formulates in the different halachos, both in Ilchos Shkagos and in the Shabbos, and implies that they're two different dinim. So one din is the Mishnah. That's the answer, the Rambam's answer to Tosis' question, How come there's a Mishnah and the Gemara is that they're two different dinim? The Mishnah is about Mein Osahav. Again, I don't know if anybody says this. I haven't seen it. The Gemara is not about Mein Osahav. The Gemara is about Avatolda. And they are different dinim. The formulation is not only different places, but it's different. In one case, he explains that you're a Chayiv for the common, for all of them. In the other case, he basically says it's Avatoldosa. That's a different formulation. I think that's consistent with the need for Yeraliyah and the Ein Tzorach Lomar, which we'll get to. But the Bali Tosas don't have that option because the Bali Tosas don't believe in the whole concept of Mein Av, as far as I know. For them, everything's a Tol. There's the Av and there's a Tolda. Everything that's not in the Mishkan is a Tolda. That is also the view of Rabbeinu Chananel. And with this we conclude. We'll read it tomorrow. An Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the first Gemara here. The Gemara sounds a lot like the Rambam, and Rashi also seems to operate this as a Rav HaKoresh, right? Tana Hazoreh Hazomer Hanoteh Hamavrich Hamarkiv Kulan Malacha Achasein. So the Rambam read that to mean Mein Hav. My kamash malon or kamash malon also malachas harbe mein malach achas and a chayv alachas. Perfect for the Rambam. Meaning, that's all mein hav. Om rabach om rabchia barashi om rabami zomer chayv bishmoteya hanoteya mavr chamarki. That's a strange gemara. However you interpret it, it's a strange gemara. Hamarki chayv bishum zoreya. Bishum zoreya ain't bishum noteya. Lo, ain't af bishum zoreya. So Rashi also has mein hav here. Kulan malach achasein, the zomer nami litzmuchi lano, the nafki minei, the ovid kulan dehadi zareya lo mechay velakada. Those are malachas harbe bechule. Zareya av malacha, no te nami av malacha, hainu zareya, elish zeb, zroim zeb ilonos. Bechin mavrchu marki, vavo zomer tolda. See, Rashi at least thinks that zomer is a tolda. Rambam thinks even zomer is a tolda. That's very rad. Mavrchu marki are also tough. It's one thing to say noteya. You put in a seed, you put in a... Is it a sapling? Is that what it's called? Any branches here? Green thumbs? And the sapling? Okay. So it's, you know, it's like, oh, the chitim and sorin. Zera and netiya. But mavrich umarkiv are quite different. And they're tsuros. You're not putting something in the ground. Right? You're, whatever it is that you're doing, you're grafting. What's the difference between markiv and mavrich and markiv? It's two different ways of grafting, right? What's the difference?
You're putting a branch into the ground and covering it with earth.
You're putting a branch in the ground.
And covering it with earth, and another tree is got something.
And the other one is in the tree itself.
Yeah. So Mavrich is one.
Yeah, I guess so Mavrich would be the same tzura. But Markiv is real grafting. Mishum told us Noteya, the Letzmuchi of it. Noteya, so again, if it was Zoreya Noteya, now some Rishonim say Zoreya Benoteya. Just Zoreya Noteya Meina. That could be very innocent. Like, you know, Mevashel and Ofel. Meina, you could say. But Mavrich and Zomer, those are tough cases. Rashi at least says Zomer Nam. By Zomer, you could say, because it looks like it's destructive. It's initially counterproductive. It's an anti-Tzura. Chai mishim zareya klomar inu nami zareya hein. Zeab izroin zeab bilonos. Okay. Mishim lokei alo. Amavrich markiv koi. Ema af mishim zareya. Hakzrios bilonos. And so on. Okay, fine. But if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel on the sugya, Alan, you have it? Just quickly, this will conclude. Wait, 1 second. You read over the Kanamo? Start with the Yerushalmi. Kol Dovashu Mashbiach.
Yerushalmi Kol Dovashu Mashbiach. Hapri Chai Mishum Zorah. Hamabet Hamarkiv Hamekarteh Hazari Hamasa Mizor Hamapai.
Some of these are from the Sig in the beginning of Ayat Kata.
Yeah,
Okay. So basically, what does the what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Menachem Hanel?
Saying that there's a whole of the Torah.
Because it's very hard to read the Gemara. So if you say that the Gemara is establishing that there's something called Me'ena Av, like Rashi says, like the Rambam clearly reads the Gemara. So when we say that some things are Mishum Noteya, so then it's simply Me'ena Av. But if there's no such thing, the only thing that's an Av is Zareya, and everything else is a Tolda, then it must be the Gemara saying that there's a Tolda to Tolda. That's the view of Rabbeinu. Kind of, okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with this and the rest of the chorus on this will finish off till tomorrow. Sorry to interrupt. About the what? Good question. Also, Thursday's show has to be earlier also because of the Tannis and also the Chabur and the Kola. So.